Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Dan and Benny in the Ring. I'm Dan Spasciano, joined, as always, by the BS Express himself, Benny Scala. Benny, how you doing today?
Living a life, my friend. Can't complain.
Hey, you know, last time we talked, Benny, you were getting ready to eat some dog food. The dating life treating you any better?
Well, so this one, we went back and forth, you know, online, and I really thought I met the one, you know, so she said, you know, I want to meet you. I'd like for you to ask my hand in marriage. So I went and I met her. And the problem was that her hand was pretty much the only thing I could pick up. I did some Scott Steiner math, and I think it would take about 37 trips to carry her over the threshold.
Oh, no.
You know, Dan, I really think that I have the curse of the great Bambino. And I don't know, like, for all those baseball fans, Babe Ruth was sold to the New York Yankees from the Boston Red Sox in 1918 for $125,000 and three cans of rhubarb. And as Kevin Sullivan would say, rhubarb. And so in the ensuing 86 years, the Boston Red Sox won zero championships and the New York Yankees won 26. I had to get that in there.
There you go.
But yeah, so I believe I have the curse of the great Bambino, but on the bad side.
Somebody sold your dating life for a couple cans of rhubarb.
Cans of rhubarb, yeah.
Well, you know, we have a special guest today joining us, a unique personality, if you will, a man who is self-described as a wrestling personality with deep, deep geek culture roots. We're joined today by Nigel Rabid. Nigel, thank you so much for being here.
Dan, Penny, thank you so much for having me on. I really, really am touched and honored you folks reached out to me.
Absolute pleasure.
We're a definitely fan of a lot of what you've been involved in recently. But before we get to the wrestling, I want to get into a question. As an animal myself, anybody who's listened to the show, seen the show, knows I've always got somebody jumping on the desk here trying to get into my microphone. Before we got on the air, you were talking about your animals and their wonderful inspired names. You have a couple of dogs named after some Star Wars characters, but I wanted, as a cat lover myself, my wife and I have seven of them. I wanted the story behind why you have your cat empire and your animals are all named after Egyptian gods.
Well, first off, just as an aside, the dogs aren't—they're not just named after Star Wars characters. Specifically, the dogs and their two predecessors, 2020, as I mentioned before the show, 2020 was a rough year. We lost two of them. The other two were Silver Mist and Mulan. Silver Mist being a princess in the Tinkerbell fairy stories, and Mulan being, of course, the lead of, you know, both the animated and the live action. So Padme and Leia are actually named after Disney princesses. You know, we were just lucky to be able to shoehorn that in. And that was as a result of at the time when we got the animals, they were pets for not just myself and the former Mrs. Rabbit, but my stepdaughter Victoria. And so we gave Victoria the option to name the dogs because we had already locked in that this pattern for cats was going to happen. Now to get to your question, when we got our eldest cat Osiris, We had him for a couple of days before we, you know how you kind of have to feel out a name.
Absolutely.
It's got to fit.
And, you know, one day we're looking about and he's lying on the bed, paws out, equidistant, same leg, and just head straight like this. And we both looked and we went, my God, he looks like a Sphinx. And when we said that, he did this. I just realized it's audio, not video. Just a slow turn to look at us, and then we went, all right, well, we both have a fondness for not deep Egyptology, but enough to go, to understand, you know, how Brendan Fraser's The Mummy was entertaining, and you know why the Luxor is significant, and So we went with the Egyptian deities. So we have Osiris, Isis, Amun-Ra, Nuit. Also Nuit, there's another spelling and pronunciation which really fits the cat, and that's Nut, because she's a nutter. Which is one of her many nicknames. I nickname everything. If you've got four legs, four paws, you're going to have at least 2 to 3 dozen, just aside names that I give you.
Absolutely. You know, my wife and I joke about that from time to time. I couldn't tell you the last time I've called any of my cats by their full name. It's usually some hybrid of a nickname or a short name or something. And you know, it's funny, we were talking before we started recording about the nerd side, and you mentioned Egypt. For little side nerd anecdote, a few years back there was an asteroid that was going to be the closest ever that anybody had gotten to Earth since we've been recording things. And actually they mentioned in the broadcast that it was going to come closer to Earth than the satellite we're using to send out this message. Ooh. And they named it they were talking about the Egyptian names, and they said, oh, they named it Apophis. And somebody was like, oh, you know, the Egyptian gods. And the guy they were talking to was like, Egyptian? No, the bad guy from Stargate. Like, oh.
Oh,
so that's
there's
the people
no hope for us.
For the people for protecting us from space.
Right.
But obviously, other than your penchant for the geekdom, you came to our attention and Benny's through your wrestling career, which you've been involved in wrestling now for what, 2009, I think it was.
Right. Just shy of 12 years. As a matter of fact, 3 days after the next SWE taping, we'll make 12 years in the business.
Okay. You mind telling us a story of how you got started in the business?
Oh, I'll give you the 1040 short form, because I don't know if we'll have time for other questions if I don't use brevity.
There can always be a sequel.
Thank you. I'm glad that you already feel confident enough in me to be willing to bring me back. We'll start very mundane. I have a computer technical support professional background as the day job. And I was working for Verizon many moons ago. And the fella came and sat down next to me for training. And we discovered that we had a fondness for professional wrestling. So when we were supposed to be doing things like talking about the previous call, instead, we would like mention the previous call and then spend the next like 30 minutes talking professional wrestling and then go back into the call. We both left that job and then ran into each other 3 years later at AT&T. We ended up sitting next to each other. Our friendship picked right back up where it was and just ran with it. It was almost like we had never been apart. He ended up during the time that we were working together going to a local independent wrestling show. And he had gotten permission to record, because the way that this show worked is if you recorded the show, provided that you gave them a copy of the recording, that they didn't care. So he's recording the show, and as it's his nature, he's cutting commentary, like he's Gorilla Monsoon or Jim Ross. And so he gives them the tape. They review the tape, go, hey, this guy's actually really good. Talk to him about doing commentary for their live shows over the house mic, which he accepted. And he was telling me about it. We got excited, and I was like, well, because we have some of the same sensibilities, very much the, Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, the greatest commentary team ever to have existed. Mm-hmm. No disrespect.
Absolutely.
To people. No disrespect to anybody. Well, I mean, there are those who just absolutely aghast at the idea that I didn't mention Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler, which both very good. But I feel that what takes them out of the running for the number one, and was doing his bit talking about Poontang Pie and all of that. And Jerry said, I don't want to look stupid by talking bad about a guy who's talking about Poontang Pai. And so Lawler, instead of being the heel color fella, he just became just kind of a energetic, you know, color type character. And for me, if you don't have the, you know, good guy, bad guy polarity in commentary, it loses something. I told him, if you need a Bobby Heenan to go with your Gorilla Monsoon, please, you know, think of me. Oh, a few weeks, maybe even a month later, he messages me and says, hey, they're doing auditions. You should come out and audition. So, a very, very long story, because believe it or not, that's a short version. Very long story short, we got lost. We left late, got lost on our way there, showed up after the auditions were done. But because we had driven from Dallas to this small little town called Seven Points, the owner said, you came all the way from Dallas, we'll let you do the audition. I was terrible, but at the time, my girlfriend, who became my fiance, who is now my ex-wife, she was there, and she had always wanted to be a valet. So she's a very attractive, very shapely young lady. So they decided they had wanted to hire her as a valet. Didn't have any use for me because I'd never seen independent professional wrestling before. I didn't even realize independent professional wrestling. I didn't know the Sportatorium was still active when my family moved to Texas in 1989. So I was completely taken aback in 2009 that independent wrestling was still about. And I ended up in my audition, literally, I'm just staring at these two young men. Now, neither of them 21 yet. Neither one of them full-fledged, have all of the legal adult rights and privileges granted to them. Couldn't go in and have a pint anywhere. None of that. They're just, you know, they're in that horrible limbo of 18 to 21. And here they are putting on to my eye at the time, a very smart looking little wrestling tourney. And I'm mystified at that. I'm maybe 100 feet from the ring, closer than I've ever been before. I'm on the inside of the guardrails. So that in and of itself was kind of this is a new experience for me. And so I'm just watching these two kids wrestle. And the owner turns around and looks at me and goes, y'all going to call this thing or what? And I just kind of folded in over myself. I was expecting to do, you know, do color, not to do play-by-play. And he's wanting me to do play-by-play. And I'm already insecure about that because, you know, it's been a minute since I sat down and watched, you know, live WWE. And, you know, hadn't been watching TNA Impact at all. So I'm completely and totally out of my depth. And so my color, my commentary at the time is things like drop kick, front kick. I mean, I'm trying to remember attacks from the THQ No Mercy, WWE No Mercy video game, and my brain's going, is that front punch 5? Is that chops that's chop 3? Imagine the most terrible commentary you could ever hear, and then make it insecure and self aware of the fact that it's terrible. Excuse me.
Still better than most Michael Cole matches.
Oh, leave Michael alone. He didn't know the difference between the Godfather and the Lord of the Rings. I remember JBL had mentioned something to the effect of a kiss of death and mentioned Fredo. And Cole makes a Lord of the Rings reference. And I just kind of sat there and went,
Fredo.
That's too funny.
That's wrong on many levels.
It is so badly. But the amusing thing is if there are two film franchises that my father adores, it's The Godfather and The Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings, because my father is a consummate reader, and Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, two of his absolute favorites.
Wow, so
I grew up with Lord of the Rings. I grew up with The Hobbit. I grew up with the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. I mean, I've read the entire seven books, both as a child and as an adult, for C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia and the Lord of the Rings. And so, you know, sitting there and hearing that, you just it just breaks a man.
Oh man, it's terrible.
Well, but I ultimately ended up, at the end of the night, being given a business card and told, hey, come back in 2 weeks. That's the next time that we're doing it, because they would do a show every Friday, and then every other week they would do Friday, Saturday. And so he said, come back in 2 weeks, and you can be come in on the 22nd or the 23rd. Doesn't matter, whichever you want. But we want to give you guys a live audition. And I was completely mystified. And I spent the next week talking with my friend, working ourselves up, getting an idea of things, you know, kind of fleshing out what kind of character I would shoot for as Nigel Rabbit. When I showed up, to them, it was like a completely different human being. And I find out probably 3 months later that the whole reason why they gave us the business card was in hopes that the woman who's now my ex-wife would get bit by the wrestling bug and want to stay. And that if I was as bad as I was in my audition, that they would look at me and go, kid, we can't use you. And I'd do one of three things. I'd go, yeah, no, I understand, thanks. And if I didn't do that, if I did the whole, you know, no, you know, it's either, you know, me or, you know, her, you know, both of us, or I would go, all right, well, I understand, but, you know, if she's got a thing, you know, cool. And they expected me to do the middle one, to be that prat, you know, the, well, if you don't hire me, you can't have her, you know, because, you know, apparently, you know, significant others don't have their own minds and can't make their own decisions about things. And, you know, and when I showed up in character and being who I was and doing things the way I did, the owner was just completely mystified. He's like, you were a completely different person. So we really lucked out because we got you and we got her. So that was at North Texas Wrestling Alliance, which sadly isn't running anymore.
That's a hell of a story. They gave you the Mark Mero contract. We'll sign you, but you definitely want her.
It was more along the lines of, you know, we'll let you audition, but we want nothing to do with you. At least Mr. Mero had the build. And, you know, Johnny B. Bad was such a good idea, just too weirdly executed. But I love Mark Mero. God bless him for the good work he's doing.
I've said before, as a huge fan of the Johnny B. Bad character, I think he was about 5 years ahead of schedule. You know, 1988 to 92 would have been the Johnny B. Bad era where I think he could have succeeded. But yeah. Benny, I see you chomping at the bit here.
Chomping at the proverbial bit. So, you know, when you said that story about you worked in IT and instead of talking about a phone call, you're talking about wrestling. It brought back a great memory of when I actually interviewed for a job in Minnesota. I had never been in Minnesota my entire life, but when I started interviewing, for some reason, I don't remember how it came up, but I said, so do you like Vern Gagne or Nick Bockwinkel? And 98% of the rest of the interview, I mean, I could have been a high school dropout. I got that job. And not only did I get the job, but like I got more money than like they were offering because, you know, I guess maybe because I was a great wrestling fan. But thank you for evoking that memory. But I want to go back a little bit further. So when did you mentioned getting bit by the wrestling bug? So when did you actually get bit by the wrestling bug? When did you first start watching, and who were your favorites?
When I first started watching, it's really kind of hard for me to definitively pin down Let me see if I can. Because I'll tell you how I got captivated by the idea of wrestling. Didn't even see actual professional wrestling, but the idea of wrestling and the imagery of wrestling is really what latched onto me. And you know how in some elementary schools they've got that little shop in which you purchase. It was really prevalent back when I was younger. But you get the little marked pieces of merchandise. You get the folders, the pencils with the characters right. on it, and all of. Well, they were looking around, or I was looking around in the shop, and they had a WWF folder. Yes, that's WWF. I am old enough to put the F in. WWF folder that had Ricky Steamboat on it, and it's what we're talking Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat, Intercontinental. Yeah. We're talking you know, that rough era of Ricky Steamboat. We're not talking about, you know, let's make him look like, you know, one of the dinosaurs from Jurassic Park and see if he can spit fire instead of poison. I saw that folder, and immediately the possibilities of what the Ricky Steamboat character could, because I had no conceptual idea of professional wrestling at that point. But I saw that and went, I don't know what that is, but I want that. That looks cool. And so I purchased the Ricky Steamboat folder right then and there, without having any ideas to what door I was opening for myself. But by the time I finally got into professional wrestling, my family was living just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, and where we were on the Kentucky side of the river. And to my knowledge, this was back before, cable was good. So didn't really have a large breadth or width of viewing capabilities. So I literally only thought WWE was the only thing going. I had no idea as to the NWA. I didn't learn about. I literally didn't learn about the NWA and Sting until literally the day after Ultimate Warrior won his title from Hulk Hogan, because I was excited about it. I was talking with a classmate about it, a young man named Normal, who was anything but.
Did he have a sister named Abby?
If he didn't, his parents were wrong, but they named their child Normal, so they were probably very wrong. He had told me, he had his tag team partner. I was like, what? He has not. I've been following the Ultimate Warrior since he got started. He's never had a tag team partner. He's like, yes, he has, in the NWA. And I'm like, what? And then I quoted the name for the rap group, the initials, but I said them all out loud, which I won't do these days because that's not appropriate anymore.
Right. No, not anymore. technically. But
yeah, well, I mean, in the name of a group, hello, kitty. In the name of a group, yeah. My only exposure and real exposure to professional wrestling for decades was just WWF, WWE. Most of my love is started from the folks in New York, and then I had to learn more about, the NWA lands and learn about when it became WCW and all that. Like, for example, when the Road Warriors showed up, they were like spoken like myth and legend, like, that they were this urban legend that occurred somewhere in the world. And the only way to find anything about them was to do some strange rite and incantation to find out more about these beings named after, and you spend a lot of time going, I mean, and at this point, I'm maybe Probably 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, you know. So, you know, my grip on what's real is already tenuous. I'm a child, for God's sake.
Right.
As far as my favorites, Bobby Heenan. I know he's not a wrestler, but Bobby was one of those. I delighted in his wit. I delighted in his antics. I love Ted DiBiase, Randy Savage, both when he was a good guy and when he was doing the ne'er-do-wells. Like every small child, Hulk Hogan. To the point where, as a child, I literally going to go see No Holds Barred. I literally made my own Rip It T-shirt, tank top T-shirt. It looked horrible. But I had it, did the same thing when we finally got to go to a house show with making a Hulkamania T-shirt. For the record, yellow marker and red marker do not a good inking process make for a T-shirt. Jake Roberts, to this day, one of my favorite storylines in WWE, especially earlier WWE, is Jake and Rick Martel, the blindfold match, and then another which is kind of amusing because I remember never didn't know who Ric Flair was, so the first time I ever saw the figure four leg lock was Greg the Hammer Valentine applying it. And his storyline with Rugged Ronnie Garvin, where Ronnie comes in as a referee and is the no-nonsense, not going to put up with your garbage referee. I mean, it got to the point where I was popping for the referee showing up because I'm like, ooh, I like this guy. He's not going to tolerate anything. He's great. And then, of course, it funnels into a story between him and Greg. The Ultimate Warrior, loved The Ultimate Warrior, loved The Rockers. Demolition until the Legion of Doom showed up and took their post-apocalyptic love away from, or took my post-apocalyptic love away from Demolition.
Yeah.
Powers of Pain, The Heart Foundation. Brent's single career took off after I had stepped away from wrestling.
Okay.
So I had to really enjoy. I mean, I think he's. I still think he's one of the greatest wrestlers ever to put on his boots. And Razor Ramon, just the
real one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Not the one that. Not the one that hangs out with Glenn Jacobs and aren't you Rick Bogner? You look like Rick Bogner.
You were talking about like not knowing what was real back then. I mean, things came and went, but you mentioned Sting and learning about him. I mean, RoboCop coming out to save Sting from the Four Horsemen, that was real, damn it.
Absolutely.
I saw that with my own eyes. That was real.
RoboCop. So is the Shockmaster, if you're going to go that way.
But
No better use of glitter paint and a stormtrooper helmet will ever be used again.
Oh no! Yes, that was.
I thought it was a flower pot. Actually, I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah, we always talk, about what ifs and who knows and what could have been. But I'm sure you've seen it before too. That's one of those moments where you watch it and you're like, there is no way anybody involved in that possibly could have honestly thought that was a good idea. Like, you see things and you're like, okay, maybe, the gobbledygooker or something like that. And you're like, okay, somebody had to have believed. But no, when I see Ottman falling through that wall with the stormtrooper, painted stormtrooper helmet, like, there's no way anybody involved in that possibly could have even remotely thought that was a good idea. Shockmasters.
I mean, the thing, we're looking back in time through one, seeing what happened. and having the knowledge, the predetermined of this, oh dear God, this was a disaster. Now, and the other thing is we're talking about a time in professional wrestling where, you know, the goal of WCW was make a dent, do some damage to what WWE was doing. So grasping at straws isn't a horrible idea. So even if they thought it was a bad idea, I don't have a problem with them reaching for it because at least they were doing something.
Trying, yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
And I can understand why the gobbledygooker could have been thought to have been a good thing. Because the gobbledygooker, I mean, we've got the Guerreros involved in WWE at this point. So you sit there and you go, sure. It'll be ridiculous for a minute. And when WWE couldn't even, I mean, when Roddy Piper is trying to hype it and talk about the look at the excitement on the face of the kids and the expression on the children's faces are somewhere between confusion and boredom. and you're watching, you, God bless, God rest Roddy Piper. You're listening to him try and sell this for all he's worth.
And if anybody could sell it, he could, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's funny.
For God's sake, he's the reason why Hollywood went, you know what? Professional wrestlers and movies, this is a thing that can work. Well, why do you say that? Because They Live is brilliant. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what anything else anybody has ever done. He did They Live. And since then, everyone else has gone, we could put a wrestler in this. Yeah, sure. What are we going to do? Well, yeah, what's the worst to be? Oh, the worst to be, hell's come to Frogtown. But, you know.
Well, I don't know.
That's funny because with Ed Wood, when George Steele showed up on the set of Ed Wood, they asked him if he was nervous. And Bill Murray said, what do you mean? The guy's been an actor his whole life.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. That's absolutely funny.
You know, speaking of commentary and your story with how you got involved in wrestling, doing the commentary auditions, we were talking before before we started recording. You mentioned your work with Pele Pro and the upcoming Indie Wrestling Expo, where you do commentary for both those shows. Can you kind of expand on that? Talk about what's coming up.
Talk about what's coming up. The problem with trying to talk about what's coming up with the Indie Wrestling Expo is they have so much incredible stuff going on that it's hard to wrap my head around it with everything else that I'm doing. But I can tell you definitively, I know that the Pele Pro champion, dear God. See, this is why you never hit a commentator manager in the head, because I just completely went, I can see his face too. Oh, it's terrible. He's facing Madman Fulton. But for the life of me, oh, and he's going to be so disappointed in me. I'm disappointed in me. Oh, I didn't realize there'd be quizzes. That was a problem.
I'm sorry. isn't Pele Pro's champion is Sam Adonis, correct?
There we go. Yes, Sam Adonis, thank you, versus Madman Fulton, which Pele and the Indie Wrestling Expo have kind of a, I wouldn't say necessarily symbiotic, but they come from the same place. The first Indie Wrestling Expo was done by two gentlemen, and one decided he wanted to continue on with professional wrestling on a more regular monthly type basis, and his partner was like, no, I'd much rather do these big elaborate shows, and so they went, cool, you know, we'll support each other and just go in separate directions. So Pele Pro was born, the only reason, as I understand it, the only reason why Pele Pro has taken a little bit of a step back is because Pele, the owner, Kyle Hessler, and his wife Jenny are expecting a blessing, and that blessing is due at any point. So they're preparing their home for a small one to enter into this remarkable battle royal that we call life.
I like the way you worded that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That is the Elimination Chamber, right?
Oh, no, that's much later. It evolves or devolves into the Elimination Chamber. The way we handle difference of opinion continues, it will definitely be an Elimination Chamber all the time, which is a terrifying thought. I can't remember if it's an 8-man tournament or, and I apologize. I've had so much going on with everything that I'm doing that, especially with everything that I've got going on, with SWE that, I just have completely spaced,
I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I was just kind of looking at some things you had mentioned you were working on. The Pele Pro Championship between Sam Adonis and Madman Fulton, you said. And then there's a championship tournament, a cruiserweight, or what do they call them? Flightweights? Yeah, the Flightweight Championship tournament. That's, for those that are interested, that's going to be March. Let me make sure I get this right. March 13th, Independent Wrestling Expo 3. And then for the Pele Pro Championship, March 13th this year. So
yeah, I'm sorry about being so scattered about it. I should probably have warned you guys. In December, I contracted COVID-19. One of the fun side benefits of it is memory is not. Not great.
Again, I apologize to put you on the spot. Actually, kind of hyping up the show is half moot on our end because we're recording this on March 9th, but it will not air until March 16th.
This was a show we just did then. You know, it was a great show.
Right. Yeah. You're hearing this show, we'll have already known who the champion is. And
right. No, and I was brilliant on the show. You loved every moment.
Best commentary I've ever heard, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. No, I'm amazing. I'm amazing. I am God's gift to words. That's what I am.
Well, speaking of God's gift, Benny, I'm sure you've got more to ask. Maybe more soft, another softball, something a little more
alley. Yeah. I'm going to do the arc pitch here. So, I actually have an answer in my head that I'm kind of hoping you say, but who, and you mentioned Bobby Heenan, were there any other influences as far as, you know, you, as regards being a manager, a commentator or announcer, do you have any other influences besides Bobby Heenan?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me do the easiest one first. The easiest one being, announcing. If I've got people that I look up to or aspire towards, it would have to be, Howard Finkel, Michael Buffer, and Doyle King, and Doyle being the announcer for WCCW, and trucking around here on the Independence for good many years.
I was going to say, there's a name from the past you don't hear too often.
And should, because Doyle's a wonderful, wonderful human being, and very still has a wonderfully resonating voice. And for some reason, every time that I see him, the first thing that goes through my head is "I am Doyle King," but done like the voiceover at the beginning of Black Sabbath's Iron Man. You know, I am Iron Man. I didn't say I was right in the head. I did mention I've had a disease that mucked with my brain, but. As far as commentary, Gorilla and Bobby are my templates. I'm very fond of the color work that Roddy did. Very, very, very fond of the commentary work that Jesse Ventura did. I really really have to, I mean, you can't talk commentary and not bring up Jim Ross. It doesn't matter whether or not he was part of the greatest commentary team in the history of professional wrestling. That's all based off of opinion. But if he's not in the top three commentators of all time, and I will say of anything, you know, that's not just professional wrestling, that's everything.
He's definitely in the Mount Rushmore for sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Now, as far as managers are concerned, obviously Bobby Heenan is a tremendous influence. Really, if they nefariously stood ringside, I'm into at least an element of their work. For oration, you can't go wrong with admiring Paul Heyman, but Paulie Dangerously and his brick of a cellular phone was an amazing, amazing bit of time appropriate.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. We just had the last episode we recorded. We had George Pontus on. He's the commissioner of VCW, which is the independent promotion based here in Virginia. And at the very last show they did before COVID kind of put a kibosh on everything, they were as a match for the tag team championships, and the heels brought out their surprise manager, and it was Colonel Robert Parker. And he did as usual, you know, wiping the forehead and caught the leg while he had the handkerchief out. And we were chatting after the show, being friends with some of the wrestlers. And it's like, man, you know, they just put the belts on you. I can't believe they had you guys drop the title. And Wes Rogers, the wrestler I was talking to, joked. He's like, you know what? Yeah, but Colonel Parker grabbed my leg. He's like, I'm good. That's a career highlight for me. You
know? Got the rub.
Yeah, and it's crazy how and that's something I think that's missing from today's product is the manager added such an element to the matches that you just don't see much anymore, and that's a shame. Absolutely. Speaking of management, obviously you mentioned in your previous answer, you talked about your work with SWE Fury.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I wanted to talk about, we had Andrew Anderson on the show. He's a fan of friend of the show, great guy. And
yes.
And he was talking about some of the upcoming events and obviously Benny and I know I don't want to speak for you, Benny, but both huge fans of the product.
Absolutely.
And I'm curious, as Texas is getting ready to reopen kind of ahead of some of the other states in the country, and as COVID maybe starts to get under control with the vaccines and whatnot, where do you see SWE going as the ball gets to start rolling again?
Well, I mean, one of the things I kept telling people when anybody would ask me about SWE Fury is we had a banner year as far as growth, because really – the company has existed for we're about close to hitting the 2 year mark as far as the modern incarnation because we did a show called Hunt for the Cure that was organized by the two fellows, our owner Tom Lance and a gentleman who used to work with the company, Mike Davis, and they put together this benefit show. And that's kind of what got the ball rolling for this. So we did that benefit show, and then a few months later, we did a TV taping at the Canton Civic Center, which, by the way, on March 20th in Canton, Texas, where SWE Fury is presenting Clash in Canton, where we will be doing a TV taping. I don't believe we're doing a live pay-per-view broadcast like we had attempted to do in Carthage at the East Texas WrestleFest. But myself and the SWE Fury World Heavyweight Champion Charlie Haas will be in attendance, and Charlie will be, I'd say defending, but it's really just beating up whoever gets in the ring opposite him. defense is usually what you do when you're trying to protect. And let's be honest, Charlie is 110% attack, not really much on defense.
He's really morphed from the Charlie Haas from the old WWF. I mean, the, you know, part of the was greatest world's greatest tag team with Shelton Benjamin. Different Charlie Haas.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I've been working with Charlie as his manager in a couple of companies, including SWE Fury. So, and I've been doing that for about five, six years or so. So I've been watching the progression and his subtle shifts. I'm going to go on record and say that the Charlie Haas that you get today in professional wrestling is hands down more dangerous than any previous incarnation, because I almost want to say he lacks compassion for his opponent. It's not just a contest any longer. It is now Charlie is proving things to Charlie, and he doesn't care about anything else but proving things to Charlie.
I don't think Charlie has compassion for anybody. I mean, I think you're the only person that's able to control him from what I've seen.
Control is a strong word.
mildly influenced.
Just keep him from running amok.
I spend a lot of time reminding Charlie that that fans have you know legal rights and that going in after them during a match is probably going to end up being cost prohibitive. But I say it in much quicker terms so that while he's in the midst of rushing someone, he has the chance to stop and get mad at me for ruining his fun. it's kind of what is, but it's an honor to work with him. It's an honor to work with SWE. And back to your question, Dan. During a pandemic year, we grew more than we could possibly imagine. We're on television screens all across the local affiliate television screens.
Right.
So like the CW, we're on, I think we just picked up, I think it was NBC. I think it was one of, I think it's NBC. Picked up a couple of NBC channels. And then of course, we're on the Action Channel, Fight TV. And then we're also billowing out through YouTube now. And trying our hand to see what, digital platform, Netflix or not Netflix, Facebook is providing. Combined with the fact that we also have some dedicated genius level, especially in the wrestling industry, genius level guidance by our general manager, Teddy Long. And then, of course, we're talking about, you mentioned him earlier, the Taskmaster, whom I affectionately refer to as the Dungeon Master, because let's face it, it's not just tasks that he's in charge of anymore. He is now the wily wizard that is controlling everything from behind the scenes, Kevin Sullivan. And then last but not least, and longest with the company out of those three, we have the legendary James Beard. And all of these gentlemen are putting their creative powers, their professional wrestling connections, and the ability to scout young, new talent to bring them to the forefront. I see us starting to make enough waves that that companies are going to start paying attention to us. And when I say companies, I don't mean, like little local state squabbles, although I'm sure that those will happen as people feel either upset or threatened by decisions that the company makes. I'm talking that I think that folks like Ring of Honor are going to start taking notice. MLW, we might even get so far as to get Impact taking a look at us. NWA concerned about what we're doing. I don't know that necessarily we'll within the next year or two if we'll have WWE or AEW looking at us and wondering what we're up to. But I'm reasonably positive that we're at least on one or two of their radars.
As you should be. You know, before, I mean, and I mean that as a compliment, because watching the programming, a lot of the videos, and we've said it before on the show, we've hyped you guys up, SWE, huge fans. I mean, we'll continue to hype up just how great the program is, and the plethora of talent from, I mean, just the matches, top to bottom, it's, and I don't mean this as a criticism to any other company, but when you watch a card and you have major star power and major talent every match on the card, your opening guys, your curtain jerkers would give other companies' main event talent a run for their money. I mean, you have just top to bottom one of the best, one of the most stacked rosters I've seen in years. And and that's including some of the bigger guys out there. And it's just, it's crazy. Where did we go? Benny, I know you've got some more questions, but before you do, you said at the beginning of the program, you got a shout out to some of our sponsor friends. And
we have actually three of them. So I'm going to go fast here. First is Tiger Towing, Rod and the guys in Iowa, 319-757-5757. And Tiger Towing, when they hook up, they pull out. One of the greatest scientific methods ever conceived is pulling out. All right, that's number one. Number two is our folks at Anywhere Apparel. They're our newest sponsor. Dan and Benny in the Ring is honored to have Anywhere Apparel as our newest sponsor. Joni and her crew are your go-to for custom screen printing and embroidery. They also specialize in corporate fundraising, promotional products like mugs, cups, and other specialty items. I call those tchotchkes when I work for Citicorp.
Yeah,
tchotchkes. All right, and so they love Anywhere Apparel, loves their customers, and their customers love them right back. And give these fine folks a call at 319-986-5885 and tell them Dan and Benny sent you. And then last but not least, so as everybody knows, or maybe they don't know, but maybe they'll know now, I do write for ProWrestlingStories.com, and I am writing for writing a story about one of the true legends in professional wrestling. And you probably have to be a little bit older like me to know who he is. His real name is Mario Fornini. His ring name is Angelo Savoldi. And most people remember Angelo as, you know, this older man who wrestled in the late 60s in the WWF. But Angelo Savoldi actually in the 50s was the NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion five different times. Actually beat Charlie Hodge, beat Dory Funk Jr., actually defeated Buddy Rogers. He's got, I mean, his list of wins is a who's who. And he actually held the belt for about 3 years in the 50s, when that was one of the most coveted titles in professional wrestling at that time. And that's, you know, that's before the WWF. So, but they are actually, coincidentally, you know, I'm writing this story. It should actually be posted in the next day or two. But their family is working with High Spots Wrestling Network, and they're releasing a compilation of 3,500 hours of old school wrestling. So I did some Scott Steiner math, and if you were to punch a clock every day and put in 8 hours a day, you know, 5 days a week, you know, no overtime, just work your 40 hours, and you actually watched this for 40 hours a week, it would literally take you, I think it's a year and 7 months to go through the whole thing. Just watching it 8 hours a day.
2,008. You said it's 3,500, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, 2,080 hours.
2,080, right? Yeah. Yep. So let me just read this real quick. This is their actual press release. This is a Dan and Benny exclusive. The High Spots Wrestling Network is proud to announce that we have partnered with the legendary Savoldi family and opened the vaults of over 3,500 hours of classic pro wrestling from around the world with all your favorite superstars. Videos will be hosted by Bill Apter. Bill Apter, I think, is, you know, Kevin Sullivan gives anything he touches in wrestling an air of authenticity, and Bill Apter is the same way. So Bill Apter, in partnership with the Savoldi family, Savmar Wrestling Network, and the Blue Pumpkin Media, will be available exclusively on the High Spots Wrestling Network, proving once again why they are the best in the biz. It's $9.99. Their first episode is called Down and Dirty, which actually sounds like a porn movie, and is streaming now and features Kevin Von Erich. Kerry Von Erich, Steve Austin, The Soul Taker, who's also the Godfather, Killer Tim Brooks, Cactus Jack, Booker T, Nasty Boys, Dick Murdoch, Terry Funk, and many more. Take a trip to Apter's Alley as we open the Savoldi Wrestling Vault and relive the golden era of professional wrestling with this collection of matches, interviews, and more. So Yeah, I told Mario, his son, that I'm going to be on this like a like an Italian hobo and a broccoli rob sandwich. So
that's crazy. Yeah. Benny, I appreciate the shout outs. Speaking of extracurricular activities, as we wrap up here, I'm curious. We talked a lot of wrestling. We talked about some other things. One of the bits on your profile mentions your involvement with the reading of children's books. Where can our fans hear Nigel Rabid in the most amazing announcer voice reading children's literature?
Well, the Facebook page is Storytime with Nigel. And all of the books, unfortunately, because of COVID-19, it had me put a hard stop. I was reading a story a day, or sometimes, depending on the length of the story, multiple stories a day. And once I got sick, I had to put a halt on that because I was literally bedridden for about 2 weeks, and then barely puttering about the house for the next week. I haven't started it back up, although I do have intention to do so. It's just logistics, technological logistics, as well as some physical logistics into getting back to that. But all the archive stories are available on the Facebook page, and there is a YouTube channel in the works where we will be uploading everything. But if you want to, if you have to get Storytime with Nigel right now, you can get Storytime with Nigel by going to the Facebook page, Storytime with Nigel. And I read children's books, picture books during the week, chapter books on the weekend, which now that everything is opening up, chapter books might be harder to get to. We'll have to figure that out. But that's where you can get it. And I love it because one of my greatest joys as a child was having my father read to me. And one of my greatest joys as a stepfather was reading stories to my stepdaughter. And due to unfair legal practices and other things, my wife, ex-wife now, and I had lost custody of my stepdaughter. And so I lost a number of years of reading stories to her. And so this is kind of a way where I can try and a little bit of that reconnect back to her, as well as share that with children who don't necessarily have that option. Because in this day and age, it's so much more difficult to be a parent and have the time to do something as simple as reading, because we've gotten our lives so complicated, not necessarily through our own doing. It's just been, everything's kind of a mess, is right. The easiest way to put it. And so this is kind of one of the things that I do, or I've done to try and help parents, children. My official title, which was given to me by a young listener by the name of Adam, my official title on Storytime is Doctor Who Mouse Book Guy. that's what young Adam labeled me as, because I was reading a series of children's stories from England called The Church Mouse, written and illustrated by Graham Oakley. If you're in any way, shape, or form interested, please go to Storytime with Nigel and go to the very first videos and look for the stories by Graham.
I just found it, yeah.
Very nice. No truer words have been spoken about busy times, that is for sure. Speaking of busy, as we wrap up and conclude here, Benny, do you have any closing questions or thoughts for our guest?
No, other than it's been an absolute pleasure, and as always, we didn't even scratch the surface of what we wanted to talk about. So I do think a sequel may be in the works here.
Excellent. I tell you what, when we do the sequel, let's do the sequel and let's open up time, and the three of us just sit down and we'll just go until we're tired of talking to each other. If you guys are up for that, I'll warn you. I'll warn you right now, set about a 3 to 4 hour block, because that is quite literally the longest podcast that I've ever done. And the fellow that had done that with me had to stop me both times. So I'm not afraid of talking.
Well, that's the bet. Sometimes the best kind of stories are the long-winded ones. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, gentlemen.
Thank you. And, yeah, and as, I mean, like you said, Facebook, Storytime with Nigel, your work can be found SW Fury. And I mean, do you have any other, upcoming or events you want to promote?
Well, I'll go ahead and I'll promote not just SWE Fury, but there's DFW All Pro that I do work with, VIP Wrestling, whom I do work with, the Pro Wrestling Federation of Pakistan, who just talking with the owner today. Once we open up, as far as travel is concerned, we're going to be doing that. Texoma Pro Wrestling, can't forget Texoma Pro Wrestling. Just a lot of exciting things in the works.
Excellent. And again, like Benny said, you know, we barely scratched the surface. We'll definitely have a part two. It sounds like part 2 through 7 are all going to be recorded at the same time. So, thank you again so much for being here. Send our best SWE. Like I said, Benny and I are big fans, to the crew. And, again, thank you so much for being here, ladies and gentlemen. Nigel Rabbit, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again for having me, guys.
Have yourself a great night.
Thank you.
Wow, what a great conversation. And
oh yeah, you know, that could have went on for hours, literally.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And he's such a fun guy to talk to. And I mean, we wrap up another great show. We continue to have fun. We've got a couple of good upcoming episodes. Obviously, we're going to we got a couple of guests to talk to. Then we've got our review of the upcoming Fastlane pay-per-view, which is building up nicely on the infamous road to WrestleMania. And then we'll have our predictions and reviews of WrestleMania as that's right around the corner. So a lot of good stuff coming up. We continue to grow. As I mentioned in the previous show, Google, Amazon, Audible, Podbean, and pretty much you do a Google search for Dan and Benny in the Ring, and the first half a dozen anywhere podcasts can be found. Facebook, we continue to grow, and we can't do that without the fans. We're on Facebook, Dan and Benny in the Ring, and Podbean, Dan and Benny in the Ring, anywhere podcasts can be listened to. So, you know, we continue to have fun with it, and I mean, that's really what it's all about, just chat
that's
wrestling.
That's the key word. You said fun. I mean, yep. even on our Facebook page, I think we get a lot of participation on that page, and people seem to be enjoying it. And that's what it's
absolutely
all about.
And it's across the board. It's modern, it's old, it's hypotheticals. It's, you know, what ifs, who would win matches, just a lot. It's fun. And that's really what it's all
and,
about.
And you know,
that's
honestly, like I have left so many wrestling pages on Facebook because I mean, God forbid you post a contrary opinion. I mean, you're running for your life. And on our page, I mean, every, you know, all opinions, I mean, people disagree, but they do it respectfully.
Yeah. And they know, I mean, there's no vile, and you can't have that, attitude. It to steal a quote from another wrestling commentator by a man by the name of Brian Zane, who hosts, Wrestling with Regret on YouTube. He always says, like what you like and don't be a dick. And I love that mantra.
And it says it all right there.
Absolutely. And, you know, so yeah, we grow, we have fun, we talk wrestling. So, Benny, you have any closing thoughts for the night?
No, you said it all, sir.
All right. Well then, for the BS Express himself, Benny Scala, hopefully next week brings better luck in your dating life. I'm Dan Sebastiano. For Dan and Benny in the Ring, you have a good night, everyone. And as always, happy wrestling.